Glynis Crook. It was billed as the finance COP, but developing nations have blasted the last-minute deal reached at the United Nations COP29 climate talks in Azerbaijan. They say the $300 billion in annual climate finance that rich countries have agreed to provide by 2035 is too little and too late. Independent experts have estimated that poorer nations will need $1.3 trillion in public and private investment by that year to adapt to climate change and its impacts. Well, I'm joined now by Olivia Rumble, who's Director of Climate Legal. Olivia, it seems that the agreement left a really bitter taste in the mouth of developing nations. What were African countries hoping for and what didn't they get?
Morning, Glynis, and morning, everybody. Yes, it was. I think if you read the headlines, everyone is using the word bitter and terrible disappointment. And I think what African countries were hoping for was something around that number that you just mentioned, so 1.3 trillion every year. So we're moving from a previous pledge where developed countries had undertaken to give 100 billion per year and really struggled to meet that goal. But current scientific estimates suggest that developing countries will need something about 455 billion a year to implement their climate change actions in their climate plans known as nationally determined contributions. And then another sort of somewhere between 2 and 400 billion to respond to climate change in the form of adaptation. And, well, there was a hope that the 1.3 trillion would at least cover most of those costs. But what developed countries were able to offer was only 300 billion. So not even enough to cover the base adaptation costs, let alone mitigation and loss and damage, which is kind of the costs of extreme weather events and effectively disaster management.
And also, I think another problem was that they were hoping that these wouldn't be loans, but it appears that instead of it being grants, which they were hoping for, the grant part is few and far between.
Exactly. That's the biggest issue. So in the past 10 or so years, there's been a heavy over-reliance on very unconcessional finance or finance that comes in the form of loans with unaffordable interest rates. And we know that a lot of African countries are heavily indebted and can't put themselves in a position to be more indebted in order to respond to climate change. And so that's why they were asking for a minimum grant or highly concessional finance core to that pledge. And there's been some confusion in this in the media, but to clarify, there is no core that's on the table. What has been offered is just more money, but not necessarily more grants or concessional, highly concessional loans. It will be an undetermined mix of private finance, bilateral finance, multilateral finance, and public finance, all of which will have elements of cost, well, most of which will have costs associated with it.
Which puts African countries, many of which are already in debt, in an even more tricky situation.
Absolutely, and that's why they've been working so hard over this past year to try and reform the global financial architecture. In fact, it goes more than a year, about 2 or 3 years now. And there's been a lot of work within the global financial institutions like the IMF and the World Bank to try and rejig the terms in which African countries gain access to finance, because a lot of that finance is ultimately used for climate change responses. I mean, we've seen very, very slow progress on that. It also comes to around perceptions of risk and investment in the country. There's generally a higher premium that African countries pay on their credit lines because of this perceived risk. And so there's a lot of work going into that to try and improve creditworthiness and ratings, reduce perceptions of risk when it comes to investment, and to try and move towards more debt forgiveness and other forms of debt for nature swaps, for example, mm-hmm. that would put African countries in a better position financially.
There was, of course, the agreement on this very controversial carbon market, but this doesn't seem like a long-term solution.
Yeah, carbon markets have always played a smallish role in the overall mitigation landscape. It's encouraging to African countries because they do stand to benefit financially from carbon markets, and there is a need for more transparency on them. But I think a lot of the concerns are being misdirected at issues that, while important, there are much bigger mitigation issues and solutions to be worrying over than carbon markets.
Thanks there to Olivia Rumble, who's Director of Climate Legal. And that's it for this week from me, Glynis Crook. Take care and goodbye. FMR.